Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, also known as John Kozlowski, one by the other. And I want to do part four of my introduction, specifically, again, talking about whistleblowers. In this case, focusing on people who know how to do things. People who know how to set up events and do things, and then those around them to see, here's a problem, and I want to expose this. Maybe not even expose it, but at least they find out about it and has an impact, which I would suggest the example I'm going to give. It had an impact on me partially at the time, more so as I found out a little bit more about this. You're probably quite familiar, since it's fairly recent history, about issues around presidential vote between Trump and Biden. There is a lot of questions about vote rigging and things of that nature. You have, as I mentioned, Project Veritas. They have exposed a lot of the vote selling that was done in Wisconsin or someplace of that nature. So, and there were a lot of lawsuits about voter fraud and so forth that were done. And the thing that you have to be careful about is when you hear the news reports, they showed that a lot of courts said, no, we can't address this because of the way it was presented. And the news media will say, then see, it was false. But no, it was not addressed because of jurisdictional issues or things of that nature. Saying that the information or the events were untrue basically wasn't there because the evidence is very strong. And of course, there was all the fiasco around the January 6th events and a lot of misrepresentation of information that you see in the news media, both directions too. But the point of this has nothing to do with that, the particular election. I've studied a gentleman who I would suggest he's a great researcher and only a fair presenter, but still he goes into a lot of subject matter with rational evidence. His name is James Perloff. And he did a video, he wrote the script for a video that was done many years ago called Shadow Ring. And I recommend it. It's slightly sensational and so forth. But there's a scene in there that I'm going to drop in that has had a really significant impact on me. What you see is this young law student pointing to out the particular event with John Kerry to John Kerry, indicating there was fraud in the election between him and Bush. The thing that is discussed at that point is the issues around how he was, the security team removed him. I've seen this many times. There's a gentleman, Lou Radowski. He does a thing called We Are Change. And he's been the bold guy who has gone to a lot of notable figures and ended up being forcibly escorted out because he's asking the wrong questions. So that's fairly common in the news media. Now we simply shadow ban or outright silence dissenting opinions. But in this case, we're talking about a election fraud, and the evidence was very strong that John Kerry won the election and George Bush took office. So is there other evidence for this? There was another gentleman involved named Mike Connell, who apparently in Ohio, I believe he was in Ohio, he was involved in this, and there were some lawsuits going on post the election, and he ended up dying in a plane crash. He was the pilot by himself. He died, and apparently some of the evidence, some of the documents that he had on his possession were not found. So there are conflicting stories, but that disappears. We don't talk about that anymore. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, that's you know, the what you found in a lot of suggestion what happened in a lot of the Biden-Trump election was that Trump was ahead in the early hours of the evening on the election, and suddenly in the later hours of the night, Biden got ahead. Well, that same scenario transpired in the case of Bush and Kerry. Kerry was ahead, and in the later hours of the night, Bush won. And the particular thing, the pivot point, was the state of Ohio. A gentleman, Stephen Spoonamore, there's a video which I'll link to, Busting the Man in the Middle of Ohio Vote Rigging. And he explained quite well, semi-technical, how the election was stolen, how the evidence points to the election was stolen. There was actually, this got to court and, you know, it disappeared. And of course, because that's long ago, it's forgotten about. But essentially, what the evidence points to is during that election night, they have the Ohio voting system in Ohio, and they had a backup system in Chattanooga, Tennessee, by a company called Smart Tech. And lo and behold, middle of the night, the primary system was taken off for whatever reason, and the backup system was used. And suddenly, George Bush moves ahead and wins the election, becomes president. So there's suggestion, all technology-wise, everything's in place for somebody to go and adjust the ballot count. So the question is, was the technology in place, and did this happen? Smart Tech is also known as AirNet. Around 2010, I got a job working for AirNet. And they are very much affiliated with the Republican National Committee. They do a lot of things for promotion of the Republican Party and do a lot on get the vote out kind of work. Well-funded. And they have a large data center, good-sized data center, in the basement of a building which has a bank in it, so kind of appropriate in downtown Chattanooga. And I was given a particular task. We ended up with, had a contract where I would do a particular piece of work. I'd be paid partially on the way if I made a particular goal. There was a flat payment at the end, kind of a large bonus. And a couple things I noticed. One is there was a bit of misunderstanding or confusion in the sense that my focus was, okay, we want to do this particular task. My focus was, let me understand the task, put the appropriate data set in place, and then we'll work on the right user interface to make it nice and pretty. Because a nice user interface without the appropriate data doesn't help. So I worked on that first. And that apparently was the pivot point, at least, on why the contract did not complete, because I worked on the data format. There was an interesting, one of the kind of second tier of management guys saw the data set that I produced and looked at the data and said, I remember the way he said it, because he was standing in front of his machine and said, that's beautiful. Because my focus is making things clean and clear and easy to understand, not necessarily for the geek, but for the guy who simply, I need the information. It's not the fancy user interface. It has to start with very clean data. Data in ways that you can understand and present. And so it was acknowledged that what I was working towards was reaching that goal. I didn't work as fast towards the goal of the user interface. And that became the problem or the excuse, because I'm wondering now. There was we were there for a Christmas party. My family came, and we had a bunch of people in the basement in office meeting room there, and a few of my family members, were including myself, were given a tour of the data center. There's one room that had basically a cage in it and a very large computer in it, specifically for this Jones Management Company, here in Cleveland. They are a payday loan company. Check into cash is what they operate. And they had their data center there. And I have also addressed the issues of that type of organization in some depth. You will find I have, if you go to hiswages.org, or com, org, I think it's org, I did a project that became a problem also, because there are issues with that. Not the issues most people expect, but there are issues with that. But I won't dwell on that now. But what it showed is, I think, a similar mindset, because it's the idea of controlling people. That's what these payday loan companies do. And being affiliated with AirNet or SmartTech gives a clue. We went to the other room that had the just rows and rows of servers. And I remember pointing to the one gentleman pointed to, I had a couple of my kids with me, pointed to a server that was low in the rack. And that was John McCain's McCain for President server. So all the websites, that was right there. So that's the kind of relationship they have with the Republican National Committee. They provide a lot of their data services, including, again, the web server for the presidential candidate. And this was past that election. But what happened was, while I was working there, I needed to understand the data set they had. And I looked into it and said, okay, this is what they have, and this is what I need to modify in order to make it useful for the task at hand. And when I looked at the data set, the way it was structured, it became very clear to me. It was structured with a lot of indirection, using large numbers in order to hide relationships, to make it potentially overly fancy, or to be able to offer it as a way to say, no, we don't have that data. It was put together in a way that could be used for deception. When I remember sitting in a room, because most of the time I did this remotely, but at one point I was in one of the offices there on one of the computers, looked at the data set, and realized, this is not bad design. This is designed for purpose. The purpose, I contend, the evidence suggests, I'll put it that way, the evidence suggests, is to cover the trail in case something happened. When I think about the character, there were a couple people there. What I found is, it seemed like a lot of people were there because they felt they were doing the right thing. And there were two people in particular that seemed like it was power. And the person with power needs the people who think they're doing the right thing around them to get the task done that they were doing. So, what you see, and I'll give you the link to the video, "Busting the Man in the Middle of the Ohio Voting Rigging." The Spinamore shows how it was done, points to the man in the middle, specifically SmartTech, and says how it's done. My suggestion is he hit it right. That's exactly how it was done. And indeed, as we see in the Shadow Ring video, John Kerry won the election and George Bush took office because it was stolen. And it's interesting, the clamor around that compared to the clamor around the Biden-Trump election, very different. But, and of course, there's the allegation that both Kerry and Bush are part of Skull and Bones, and that fraternal relationship that's the suggestion why Kerry did not dispute this, because maybe he was there for that purpose. But that's conjecture, and I'm not going to run down that rabbit trail. But, okay, the point to understand, I saw the data. I wasn't there for the event, but I saw the way the data was structured. I saw that they had the ability to do this and then total deniability. And I wasn't clear on what happened at that time. That, and there was some work for an insurance company out of Nashville. Basically, it was the last time I did anything, typical high-paying job, because I saw too much corruption. Some of my next jobs were doing things like grinding deer meat at a butcher shop. And no, I wasn't paid very well compared to, I was paid just over a tenth of what I was making in some of the other jobs. So why would I take that kind of a pay cut? Why would I take that kind of pay cut? Are you comfortable with saying, okay, I will work for this company, I will do this task and whatnot, because we have the right motivation, but we're doing something potentially criminal? Stealing presidential elections, that might be considered criminal. We may potentially be doing that. But there's an overall good here. And we're a bunch of nice people doing the right things. And of course, again, the suggestion of Mike Connell. Did he speak out in the wrong way? And was his plane crash not an accident? And of course, because I was trying to do the job well and present data clearly, as opposed to putting together a structure that looked pretty and was able to hide the data, was I the wrong person for the job? These things have influenced me. They've impacted me. And of course, the question is, in this case, there isn't a whistleblower per se. There is the Spoonermore pointing out how it was done, showing the evidence. There is the Connell thing that leads to some suggestions. And there's my seeing of the way the data was structured. But there's nothing there to grab and say, look, here's a problem. What happened was wrong. Especially now that it's so many years ago, nobody cares. So, do you care? Would you be in a position, would you be in a position where you would be doing something and you see this kind of thing happening in front of you to say, no, I can't do this? The character of the people that are doing this stuff is not my character. I cannot lie, cheat, steal, deceive. Even when the cause seems just and right. No, I'm sorry. Deception is not right. And I will not do that. I'd rather grind deer meat. Would you?